Thank you, guys. If you will, go ahead and take your outlines out. We're going to review just a moment from a couple of weeks ago. If you weren't here, you're more than welcome to pick up a copy of that CD. They're out back. I mean, they're in the foyer, and they're free. We're in this series here at North Point called Raising Amazing Kids. And I want to tell you, it's not just for kids. It's for everybody, whether you're a parent or not a parent, whether your kids are five or whether they're 50. You'll always be a parent regardless of what age they are. And we started off last week in the book of Hebrews. It says, God is the one who made all things, and all things are for His glory. He wanted to have many children to share His glory. God wanted a family. He wanted a family that loves Him. He could have created a whole bunch of robots that would automatically love Him, but love isn't real unless we choose. So He gave us free will. This is God made husbands and wives to become one body and one spirit for His purposes, so they would have children who are true to God. So be careful and do not break your promise to the wife you married when you were young. God says, I hate divorce. We've got a responsibility to our families, to our kids. But what we told you about last week was the truth is I'm responsible to my kids, but I'm not responsible for my kids. And that was freeing for a lot of folks. And then we looked and we started about five truths that we got to help kids understand. We got to teach it to them and that they believe. And then I wanted to give you five questions that you must help kids ask and then they answer. And we only went over two of them a couple of weeks ago. The first truth we looked at that we got to teach our kids or the people in our life is that I was planned for God's pleasure. He made you and I to love and to love Him back. And the question that young people and us adults have to ask is, what will be the center of my life? Then we got to answer that. What will be the focus of our life? The next truth was, I was formed for God's family. I was formed for God's family. And that's the truth. It's the reason you and I are here. God wanted a family. So He created us. Then the question out of that was, who will be the companions in life? Will you hang out with people who encourage you or bring you down? In many ways, you are who you hang out with. Well, we're going to jump to truth number three real quick. Is the truth number three that we want to teach our kids is I was created to become like Christ. You and I were created to become like Christ. Now, when you teach this one and when you get this one, it'll explain why you have so many problems in your life. And your children have so many problems. When we strive to become like Christ, but we got to have this conversation with our kids, regardless of their age. Ephesians 1:11 says this, it is in Christ that we find out who we are and what we are living for. Part of the overall purpose He is working out in everything and everyone. Guys, most people don't know who they are. Most people don't know what they're living for. But He's saying right here that you and I were made to be like Christ. Romans 8:29 says this, for from the very beginning God decided that those who came to Him should become like His Son. Every parent knows this phrase, you know, like father, like son. Or like mother, like daughter. You know, and I truly hope that's a compliment. But the closer I get to know Him, God wants His children to to grow up to be like Him. Not a God, but godly. Not a God, but godly people. You know, we're never going to be a God, but He wants us to be godly. And God is love. God is joy. God is peace. God is patient. God is gentle. He is kind. He has integrity, generosity, humility. And so what God did was just kind of a, in my mind, a wild plan. He stepped out of earth and became human just to model it to you and I. Jesus Christ modeled every one of those characteristics and more. So if God is going to make us like Christ, He's going to carry us through all those trials that Jesus Christ had to become like Him. Was Jesus Christ ever lonely? Yeah. Was Jesus Christ ever tempted to be discouraged? Yeah. Was Jesus ever misunderstood? He sure was. And still is. Was Jesus Christ ever criticized? Yep. Was he ever attacked? Yeah. Did He ever feel like giving up? He sure did. Was He ever tempted? Yeah. Guys, I want to tell you, if God didn't spare His own Son from going off through all of that, what makes you and I think that we'll be spared? Or your kids. Guys, this ain't heaven. Everything works perfect in heaven, but not on earth, because the earth is broken by sin. Our job's not going to be perfect. Our marriage is not going to be perfect. The weather's not even going to be perfect. It's broken by sin. But God can use it for good if you give it to Him. Because I'm telling you, God is more interested in what you are than what you do. He's more interested in your character than your comfort. God, He's more interested in you growing up than you having a good time. And this is the very learning. What we're doing today, what we're doing on this earth, is the very learning and testing stage for eternity. And if everything went your way, if everything went your way your entire life, you'd just be a spoiled brat. You'd just be a spoiled brat. If you got everything you wanted when you wanted, you would be the most obnoxious, narcissistic individual there is. God wants to teach you something, that it's not about you. It's not about you. It's about loving Him and loving other people. Guys, if you miss that point, you'll be miserable most of your life if you think it's about you. You only learn patience when you're forced to wait. You only learn to love when you're around unlovely people. You only learn peace in the middle of chaos. Kids need to learn that they were created to become like Christ. And if they're to become like Christ, they're going to go through troubles. They're going to go through trials. But they also need to know that God can bring good out of anything in life if they give it to Him. Everything, what I've kind of learned in life is everything that happens to me in life is either a stepping stone or a stumbling block. It's going to make me better or it's going to make me bitter. It's my choice. It's my choice to either trust God or to not trust God in every situation. It's our choice. Help your kids ask and answer this question: what will be my character of my life? What will be my character? Who am I going to become? Because their character is far more important than their career. We spend so much time and energy preparing our kids for their career when we really should be focused on preparing them for their character. And because we're not going to take our career to heaven. We only take our character to heaven. Philippians 2:5 says, in your lives you must think and act like Christ Jesus. We must take on His attitude, His character. Guys, this life is preparation for the next. And you are going to be tested. So don't be surprised. Don't waste another second on building your character. Comfort doesn't last. Character does. The fourth thing we need to teach our kids is I was shaped to serve God. Ephesians 2:10 says this: it is God Himself who has made us what we are and given us new lives from Christ Jesus. And long ago, He planned that we should spend these lives in helping others. Guys, let me tell you something. When you don't accept yourself, when you don't accept who you are and who God made you to be, you're blaming Him. You are who you are because God made you that way. When we get to heaven, we will serve God. So it says on earth, we got to practice that. You said, you know, how do we serve God on earth? We do it by helping other people. Every time we serve other people, we serve God. I tell you, God put you here to make a contribution, not just to take up space, not just to watch TV, not just to play games. It's only when we start to give our lives away that we really find out what life's about. We are shaped to serve God. Which brings up this next question that we got to help our kids ask and answer. What will be my contribution? What will be my contribution? How will I give back? How am I going to use my God-given talent? Will I use them just to benefit myself or help others? Now, the world teaches us to use everything for ourselves. Popularity, power, money. It teaches us to get all we can all we get, and then sit on the can. Then retire and die. But guys, deep down, you know you were made for so much more than that. That there's more to life than just this. That there's a much bigger purpose than to just work, make money, retire, and die. I've talked to you. I know you. Inside, you know that you want to make a bigger difference with your life. You're made to count, and you know that. And that's what we want to do here at North Point. No matter how old, no matter how young you are, we want to help you, to teach you and encourage you to make a difference with your life. You were made to count. So you've given me 15 years, and I want you to hang in with me for another 15, I hope, or 20. And I want you to make a difference. When God looks at you at the end of this time to say, good job, my faithful servant. I wanted to say, that's my boy. Or that's my girl. You finished well. Or you may be like me when he sees you. You say, Jim, you messed up early on. But you really picked up the pace. You can pick up the pace. But we got to understand, it's not about us. 1 Peter 4:10 says, God has given each of you some special abilities. Be sure to use them to help each other, passing on to others God's many kinds of blessings. Not help yourself, help others. Did you know that doctors and scientists have found out that we naturally have 500 to 800 talents? Each of us. Something that we're good at. Now, sometimes we don't realize that. That many talents. You can do so much good stuff and don't even know it. But you've been doing it so long. What you and I need is people to point it out. Guys, if you're hanging around folks that don't point out your good qualities, find you some new folks. If you're hanging around folks that bring you down instead of up, get you some new friends. You got some talents. You got some amazing talents. And you need folks, you need a group of people that say, hey, you know, you're good at that. You know, you're good at that. You know, I know you also need some people that say, you know, you stink at that. Don't do that again. You know, but, you know, I'm around a lot of kids now with being chaplain of several of the teams, football team and soccer and stuff, and then just around a bunch of kids and stuff with, you know, you never know who's going to be at our house. We need to, of course, we need to settle it ourselves too, but another question we could throw in there that we need to ask and answer is that, am I going to be more interested in giving or getting? Am I going to be more interested in giving or getting? We really need to work on that one. The last conversation that we ought to have with our kids is the fifth truth that we want to teach is, I was made for missions. I was made for missions. You know, it's never too late to teach this. John 17:18 says this, Jesus said this, in the same way that you gave me a mission in the world, I give them a mission in the world. Guys, when kids get this, it raises their self-worth. It raises their self-esteem so much. Just a quick story. I got to tell you, there's a young lady here. She's not here today, so I'm going to tell you about her. Joellen Peoples. For the last year or two, I have noticed something in this child's life. She's accepted the call to go help people in Haiti. She's leaving in November, ain't it? And guess what? The trip's more than paid for. I hadn't even brought it to your attention yet. Paid for her and her mom to go. But what I've noticed about her is this whole change in her countenance. She doesn't seem 15. She's got this self-worth, this value. Because she knows that she's found out that she was made for a mission. Now, going to Haiti may not be yours. How many teenagers we got in here? Raise your hand. Keep your hand raised, because then I want you to come down. We got time. Come on. Come on. I want to tell you something. I saw you raise your hand, so you might as well come on. Come right here. Come on. Amen. Amen. Now, guys, I want to talk to you for a second. Whew. You are beautiful. most of you. But did you know Nevin, did you know that God made you for a specific life message? Zach, ain't nobody else in the world like you. Will, you are unique. Mr. Gossett, you have a unique life message. No one else in the world has it but you. Colin, you have another unique message. If you don't do it, it simply goes undone. No one else can do it. He wants to deliver a message through you, Junebug, that only Junebug can deliver. Each and every one of you are unique. Each and every one of you are planned. We need to find out the life message. You need to answer that question. God has a life message for you. If you don't share it, it will not be shared. All of those hurts, all of those troubles that you've gone through, don't waste. Don't waste. God does not waste hurts. To become like Christ, you're going to have to go through them. Let me pray for you. My Lord, I don't know what they have to go through nowadays, but I ask your anointing on them. Go before them as they go to school tomorrow. And I ask that the others see them, they see you. And that they share the message that you've given them. Each one of them has a unique and different one. I pray that they share. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. Thank you, guys. Yeah. Amen. That's a neat thing. You guys are wonderful. Thank you for coming down. But guys, these guys go through struggles. These guys go through hurts. And who better to share a struggle with someone else than someone who's experienced that? I mean, an alcoholic can relate to another alcoholic. Who better else to help someone going through a divorce than someone who's went through a divorce? Don't waste your hurts. You can't help someone that's been bullied unless you've been bullied. Don't waste those hurts. I'm telling you, guys, teenagers, adults, God wants you to use the very thing that you're most embarrassed about, the very thing that you're most ashamed of, the things that you most want to forget, God wants to use them for you to help others. We think we encourage people by our strengths. No. We encourage people by our weaknesses. If I got up here every week and told y'all about my strengths, you'd say, well, goody for you. And then it wouldn't be long. I wouldn't be preaching to nobody except for Angie. And then she would just keep the nursery. But when I tell you about my struggles, you say, man, I didn't know that. Jim's messed up. And if he's really that messed up, he uses Jim, he can use me. Because I'm nowhere near as screwed up as Jim. Or messed up. I shouldn't have said. But in those weaknesses, God can use you in spite of them. In spite of them. He's counting on us to use those. He don't want to waste those hurts. You ought to help somebody else. I'm telling you, when you help somebody else, you can get your mind off your trouble. Help the next generation go further than where God brought you. Last question. What's going to be my life message? We got to get our kids to ask that. Then we got to get them to answer it. Some of them will be to share the good news, you know, and to sing the good news. Some of them will be to share salvation. You know that it's free. You know some of them will be share that, you know, the gospel. You know, bring whatever you are, bring your worries and your cares and your sins to God, and He'll wipe them clear. And that's good news, that there's a purpose for living, and I have a home in heaven. That's all good news. But I'm telling you, the world is much more ready to hear that good news than we are to share it. 2 Corinthians 5:18 says this: through Christ, God has made peace between us and Himself. And He gave us the work of telling everyone about the peace we can have with Him. So we have been sent to speak for Christ. He wants you and I to live in a way that we are a credit to Christ. I'm finishing up now. This is my Facebook status. And I say it as one of my last statements, so you didn't make me end early. Folks would rather see a sermon than to hear one any day. Folks would rather see one than hear one. So, adults, I want to ask you to do something. You know, I've told you to teach our kids these five truths. And I've told you to teach our kids to ask these five questions and help them answer them. Before you do that, I want you to ask yourself these five questions. I want you to take a piece of paper, and I want you to ask yourself these five questions. And I want you to answer them for yourself. You see, you can't teach them if you haven't been there. Would you pray with me? My Lord. I pray for the man that sits today that'll go home and he'll sit at the table. Even if he don't like to write, even if he don't like to do this, that he examine himself and he looks at these lists of five questions. And that he began to try to answer them. They may not be able to answer. He may not be able to answer them all today. But Lord, that he starts. And then, Lord, that he can start to have these conversations with his children, with his wife, with his coworkers. I ask you to go before him, Lord, as a special favor. And let us make a crazy impact in this place. We love you. And it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.